So Andy Burrell's been in charge for 11 games in the league and he's already got himself a club record, having not let goal in for any of the last seven. It's impressive, but of course it raises the question of just how much can be attributed to him and how much can be attributed to the foundations left behind by Dean Saunders. But I've got to say, and today's game against Braintree really reiterated it as they took the title, I think the morale should be the one getting the credit. There are certain uplifts in the defensive performance, admittedly working to a pattern which Saunders laid out, which I think morale should get the credit for. The fullbacks, essentially. Because the fullbacks, Ashton and Obeng, well, are both players that Dean Saunders wasn't too sure about. Obeng's the one that really stands in my mind, because Saunders seemed to miss no opportunity to embarrass him. He was constantly complaining, both on and off the record, and believe me, he did complain off the record sometimes after, in press conferences have finished, about Obeng's defensive deficiencies, how he'd get caught up the pitch, and certainly, speaking to Stuart Hammonds, the non-league paper's excellent chief writer, that's something which other managers have picked up on, and there are plenty of non-league managers who look to exploit exactly that. But this season, it just feels different, and during this lengthy run, when we've been solid at the back, Obeng's often been the outstanding player, one of them. There's a difference now, and I just wonder whether it's because Obeng is now managed by Andy Morrell, a manager who trusts him, who gives him his head and recognises him as being a key part of his side setup, rather than a manager like Dean Saunders, who would do things like what he did in pre-season last season at Vauxhall Motors, when, unhappy with Obeng's defensive work, he went out onto the pitch at the final whistle as all the other players departed from the pitch and grabbed hold of Obeng and kept him out there for 5 minutes, showing him positionally what he wanted to do while the crowd filtered out and watched. It must have been absolutely humiliating for the fullback. You can't see Morrell showing a lack of consideration for one of his players' feelings, in all honesty. Ashton as well, according to the word inside the club, was a player that Saunders has reservations about last season, surprisingly, as he brought him in, of course. But, yeah, apparently Saunders was quite keen to move him along, if possible, and, according to what I was told today, would have been very happy if he had the money to have brought in two fullbacks as his priority. Let's not pretend that Saunders doesn't deserve some credit for what has been done at the back, mind. After all, he did bring in Mark Crichton, which you might argue is a no-brainer. I mean, when he brought him in, I was utterly delighted straight away, having remembered him looks like a rock on so many occasions against us. And, most crucially of all, from his point of view, he converted Nat Knight Percival from a winger to a centre-back, and that was a stroke of genius. Knight Percival and Crichton outstanding. Again, the game up Braintree just illustrated the value of that partnership. Knight Percival's got so many terrific qualities. Sometimes he can be a bit bullied by real traditional conference-style target men. That's not a criticism of him, because these guys are 6'5" and 6'5" wide as well, and they'll rough you up. Braintree played with two of them. Knight Percival dealt with them pretty well, but crucially, on the occasions when he wasn't able to, Crichton and Ashton were able to handle them. Ashton with a couple of good interceptions round the back. Crichton, because he was at his beastly best, absolutely imperious in the air, despite the fact that he had two players built the same as him hurling themselves at him. It's a hell of a good back four. And Dean Saunders did put it together, but you can't help feeling that Andy Morrell's the one who's really breathed life into it.